Park in Houston, Texas. Tonight, it's game one of the 2020...
Another World Series is underway with moments like this one.
1-1 pitch. Fly ball off the end of the bat. Short right field. Castellanos saves the day and sends game one to the 10th.
That was the Phillies' Nick Castellanos, who ran 70 feet to make that dramatic sliding catch, which led to the Philadelphia Phillies' win. And then there was this...
It's one in the air to deep left center field. Back it goes. It is gone. Alex Bregman strikes again in the World Series.
The Astros' Alex Bregman's home run in Game 2, tying the series, which heads to Philadelphia tonight. The audio from ESPN. And more memories will be made, because that's what baseball does. And author Eric Gray has been collecting those memories. He visited us 3 years ago with his first book, Bases to Bleachers, some of the over 1,000 stories he got from mostly strangers when he asked them, what was your favorite baseball moment? Now he's out with a second book, Backyards to Ballparks, more personal baseball stories from the stands and beyond. John Allen of Cedar Falls, Iowa, remembers seeing Mickey Mantle hanging out a bus window signing autographs for kids when a big adult elbows his way in. 10-year-old John watched in awe as Mantle broke the guy's pen, wadded up his paper, and told him to scram. Then there was the guy who just wanted to have a catch, so his wife put a little notice on a neighborhood website and... Well, let's Eric tell the story. Eric Gray, welcome back.
Thank you, Robin.
Before we hear what happened that day to the guy who just wanted to have a catch, what happened to you and your family, your wife Lynn, two kids? How did baseball become this thing in your life?
Well, it started when I took my kids to their first game, and Rachel was 8 and David was 4, and by the end of the third inning, David was having fun with his friend running up and down the steps. But Rachel, who brought about 1,000 books with her, knowing how bored she would be, she was transfixed by this game. She began working for the Giants when she was 14 as a giveaway usher. And it's her love of baseball that would connect a family.
It's so great. Does Rachel still work in San Francisco at the park?
She does.
And for those detecting, like, wait a minute, you don't sound like you're from San Francisco. Perhaps here's where I disclose. You went to school with my sister, Gail. We both went to John F. Kennedy High School in Plainview, Long Island. And went to parks there, and I didn't really get the game, but there's something, what is that?
I can't imagine writing a book like this about people's memories in other sports. I just don't think that they lend themselves to the tradition, the history, the family connections. There's just something about baseball.
Yeah, well, and someone might challenge you on that, but here you have two huge books filled with these stories. Let's get back to the guy who just wanted to have a catch. You know, his wife puts a little notice on a neighborhood app. They showed up at a field on the appointed day. And what happened?
Well, they didn't know if anybody else was going to come, but he had a glove and some balls. And then people started showing up. As he describes it in the story, there were some local neighborhood high school kids. There was a 76-year-old man from Queens, New York, and this is in Dallas, Texas, and all kinds of people in between. And then they just started having a catch.
Lines of people, because it wasn't just him and the one guy.
Right. Balls were being thrown back and forth like kids at a little league practice. He talked to people about why they did this. And the guy was 76, said, it was a chance to do something that I never thought I would do again, discover the fountain of youth. People just started to talk about life and about their lives. And he wasn't really expecting that. And I emailed him a few weeks ago. His name is Frank Miller. I asked him if this has continued to go on, and he said, yes, it has.
It's just a wonderful story, as is one from my pal Beverly. A lot of listeners to Here and Now heard you when you were here 3 years ago and sent their stories. Beverly was one, Beverly Meyer. She writes about her complicated relationship as a black baseball fan with the Red Sox, you know, last team to integrate, owner Tom Yawkey, known as a racist. But when the Sox signed Pumpsy Green in 1961, she finally gives her allegiance. You know, she's like a little girl. And then she becomes a black woman watching a beloved black player do what in Fenway Park?
She watched David Ortiz break the Boston Red Sox record of 50 home runs in a single season, the record that had previously been held by Jimmy Fox.
Yeah, this is two home runs
right.
that break that. And as she says, she thought smugly of Tom Yawkey spinning in his grave. And it brings us to Bob Kendrick of Kansas City, Missouri, who would grow up to be director of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in 1999. But back in 1974, he's at home in Georgia watching while Hank Aaron came to bat, Babe Ruth's record.
I tell people that if they tell me that they were at a famous event, but that's all they tell me, there's no story there. Bob's story is very different. He was 12 years old watching this on TV, and he describes how people had very mixed opinions about whether records are made to be broken. Some people think yes, some people think no, and some people think especially not a black person beating Babe Ruth's record. And when Aaron hit the home run and he circled the bases, Bob himself created his own makeshift base path, and he ran to the bookshelf, which is first base, the TV, which is second base, another a couch, which is third, and back to his easy chair. So he recreated
at 12.
At 12, alongside with Hank Aaron. And that's what makes that story almost, it gives you goosebumps. And Bob ultimately went on to be the president of the Negro Leagues Museum, and his story continues to talk about when he met Hank Aaron and and shared dinner with him. And
25th anniversary of that day.
Right.
He's now running the museum, and he's sitting having barbecue with Hank Aaron.
That's correct.
Dreams come true.
Yeah.
In these stories many times. What are some of the topics?
There's the story of Alan Foudy, who was at a game, and there were people from Australia sitting in front of him. This is in Dallas. They were told they had to go to a game, and they were just bored because nothing was happening. And then that was a famous game because Robin Ventura was hit by a pitch by Nolan Ryan. Instead of going to first, he went to the mound. Nolan Ryan proceeded to pummel him. And the guy from Australia turned to his wife and said, well, now I get it. This is great. It's making me feel homesick. And Alan said, I didn't want to ruin his notion of what baseball
is. Baseball. We fight on the mound.
There's a woman named Emily from Seattle, and she talks about winning tickets to the All-Star game in Seattle, but she only had two, and she didn't know which of her parents to take. So she created a baseball SAT, and her mother wound up winning and accompanying her to the game.
Cheryl Phillips of Oakland writes about her family's love of the game and how her dad coached the women's softball team that she and her mom played on. And things got a little awkward, she writes, in her house when her dad cut her mom from the team. I mean, the stories go on. You and your wife, Lynn, have another story in there. It's June 2021. Matt Cain, San Francisco Giants. He comes to the mound.
Matt Cain was the favorite player of all four of us. Mm-hmm. And he was on the mound. And Lynn and I were in our den watching TV. Rachel was in the press elevator as usual. David was his apartment in D.C. The zero hits, the zero walks, the zero errors continued to mount, and as did the tension in our house. And we're sending four-way texts. Mm-hmm. And David knew we should be going to bed because it was 1 o'clock. But how could he go to sleep, not only with a historic game, but our favorite player?
Leave the family.
Right. And the perfect game was accomplished. And once again, it was apparent to me that this magical game of baseball had connected us from our living room to the press elevator to an apartment in D.C. to the pitcher's mound.
Well, and then fast forward 3 years, you and Lynn go to an appreciation fan appreciation day game. But that's not why you're there. Why are you there?
I was there because I knew this was Matt Cain's last game. He had announced he was going to retire. And we just wanted to see him one more time. And a couple of years later, when he was being inducted onto the Giants Wall of Fame, I was there. And I got a little teary, and I thought, I will never again have a favorite baseball player.
Well, no, say it ain't so. I mean,
there are players I like, but he was my favorite. So we're a baseball family, and my daughter-in-law, Lisa, loves baseball as well. And Lynn and I were at a game. We were not sitting together. She actually sees it with our friend, Sid. And my daughter-in-law, Lisa, does a FaceTiming, and David and Lisa sitting there, very grim-faced, and slowly they pick up a piece of paper that says, congratulations, grandparents-to-be.
Oh, my God. That's how you found out you were going to be grandparents?
That's how we found out. Or as Lynn writes in her story, that's how Lynn and Sid found out that Lynn and I would be grandparents.
Because you weren't sitting with them. But
and to bring this to a further conclusion, after 2 years of debating with my son, we were lucky enough to bring Juliet to her first baseball game in Washington, D.C.
That's your granddaughter, David's daughter. Aww.
So we've got another generation as part of our family.
And there they are in the back of the book, your son crouching, catching pitches from your granddaughter, just like you did to him. That's powerful. And that's Eric Gray. The book is Backyards to Ballparks, More Personal Baseball Stories from the Stands and Beyond. Eric Gray, thanks so much.
Thank you. This was just a total pleasure and an honor.